St Martin and Molloy getting us home free thanks to Coca-Cola.
And now, live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Molloy with Mick Molloy and Tony Martin.
And today, John Howard's billboard of debt. It's up on blocks, but is it down for the count? We ask the man himself. Keeping with the motoring theme, Mick's going to take us on a guided tour of the Popemobile. We've got another episode of Celebrity Drive-Thru, and we're going to cross to New York to sample the knife-edged excitement that is the World Chess Championships. As always, we'll play Radio Gladiators, and today's guest, well, we're going to be picking the brains of one H.G. Nelson. It's all coming up on the program that's making more people install noise insulation than Sydney's third runway, Martin Molloy. SAFM. This is Martin Molloy. Good afternoon, Canberra. Good afternoon, Brisbane. Good afternoon, Adelaide. Good afternoon, Melbourne. And good afternoon, Sydney. Welcome to another one with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who's paying through the nose to support Take That on tour. And yet was booed off stage last night at Melbourne's Tennis Centre when his medley of Kevin Bloody Wilson favourites went down like a lead balloon. Mick Molloy.
People just don't want to hear groundbreaking music anymore.
It's a bit of a jump from, from Back for Good to Born Again Piss Tank. So, I don't know.
Maybe in the back of a ute.
Sure. They're not ready for it. They're not ready for it, the youngsters, Mickey. But I tell you what, this might cheer you up. Let's kick things off with a visit to Mick Molloy's Celebrity Corner.
Thank you, one and all, and once again, welcome to Mick's Celebrity Corner. Big hand for Gracie on the pianola, and he'll be off to join the Take That crew members on stage very shortly. Well, down to business now. It was egg on FaceTime yesterday for John Howard as his much-talked-about mobile billboard of debt broke down in the Blue Mountains and had to be towed to a nearby town for a bit of repair work. Once again, we've got the man at the wheel on the line now. John Howard, can you hear me?
Yes. Am I too late for Take That tickets?
Yes, I'm afraid so. Mr. Howard, how are the repairs going?
Oh, it's costing me a fortune, Mick. They're ripping me off blind. In fact, I'm using the billboard to update the cost of the repairs every hour.
Now, what exactly happened?
I shouldn't have tried to take it through the Macca's drive-thru, Mick. It was a disaster. I drove out with a McFeast, a small fries, and half the restaurant dragging behind me up the Great Western.
Is that right?
Boy, it was the Hamburglar pissed. He chased me for three blocks, just going...
I see, yes.
You like that, Mick? Do I win the three pack?
I'm afraid not. Where's the billboard? That'll be enough out of you, Mr. Howard. They get too cheeky. Now, where's the billboard now?
Oh, she's up on blocks, I'm afraid. And overnight, a bunch of kids rejigged the letters, forming an obscene phrase which suggests a somewhat unnatural relationship between myself and a rolling donut.
So what's the state of play?
Well, I've had it completely painted white, Mick.
Are you coming up with a new message for Australia?
No, I'm just going to keep driving it round as is. It's now an accurate representation of current Liberal Party policy.
I see. What about the ALP's threat to unleash their own billboard on wheels to compete
that'd be right. Take him on, come on, let's see Paul Keating try and drag me off. I'll meet him at Bathurst this weekend. I'll whip his candy ass, Mick. I'm a fuel-injected suicide machine.
I'm sure you are, Mr. Howard, and thanks for your time.
Hit it, boys. Get your motor running. Get out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And whatever comes my way, yeah, darling, gonna make it happen. Take the world in a love embrace. How do you like the sound of that, Mick? Hey, getting the juices flowing. Fire all of the guns off at once and explode into space.
SAFM.
That'd be Queen with another one bites the dust here at Martin Malloy. Thanks very much to John Howard speaking to us there in Celebrity Corner. And I didn't realise he did such a good hamburger, Mick.
He's pretty amazing, isn't he?
We must try a thousand. Yeah, let's get some more impressions out of him next time. But what about the Pope? We haven't heard much about the Pope lately on the show. I know he's got his CD in the shops. What's it called again? The Rosary and How to Swing It. That's right. That's out now. But what about his US tour? I know there's some security concerns. I think the Popemobile's been shipped over.
That's correct, Tone. I'll just bring up to date. What's happening is the Pope is visiting the US on October the 4th. And in preparation for the visit, the Popemobile went over to New York earlier this month. But, well, there's been a bit of a problem. No one seems to know where it is. And that's not good. I mean, you know New York, Tone, and by the time they find it, it's sure to be up on blocks somewhere. The radio will be gone, the side mirror will be snapped clean off, and some clown with nothing better to do is sure to have written, "Wash me, please," on the dirty back window with his finger. It hasn't been reported stolen, but someone did see a vehicle fitting that description being used in a smash and grab on a jewellery shop. So they're relatively confident, Tone, it's going to turn up. Look, I've said it before, but that bloody Popemobile is more trouble than it's worth. You remember the Australian tour, don't you, Tane? Oh, look, well, just to fill the listeners in, every time the Pope comes to Australia, he likes to crash at my pad. Yeah. No, he does, and it's a real pain in the ass. You know, he's always parking his Popemobile in my driveway with its little sticker on the back. If it's rocking, don't bother knocking. Yeah. It had no muffler, so every time he came home late, he'd wake the whole neighbourhood. That is, if he hadn't been wheel clamped on the nature strip out the front of some nightclub. Oh, and he used to hate that too. One night he came home swearing like a trooper, in Latin, fortunately, because there were kiddies around. Yeah. Eventually, he had to pay them to get it back, and he wasn't going to till he remembered he'd left the windsurfer on the roof racks, which I had to point out to him was busted anyway and had been ever since he rolled it after entering that drive-through bottle shop just a tad too fast. No, he's an idiot, Tane. He's got to kill himself one day. I came home, I swear this is true, and there's a huge crowd assembled, right? And I'm thinking, what's going on? I look at the end of the street, and there's the Pope, I swear, revving the Popemobile. And I look down, and there's a ramp and 12 double-decker buses. I had to call it off. I've had to say, go to your room. You're a disgrace.
Go to your room, John Paul II.
John Paul II, and never think about it. Another time I woke up to a horn blaring in my driveway. I take a look, and there's the Popemobile, engine on. The Pope's crashed out with his head on the steering wheel. I'm thinking, hello, it's Bon Scott all over again, until I notice a hose attached to the exhaust pipe leading round to the driver's window. Well, exactly. You know, I'm thinking, oh, this can't be good, when the Pope just burst out laughing, claiming to have got me a beauty. Oh, well, that's the Pope, people. Can't take your eye off him for a second.
Hello, I'm Patrick Stewart, star of TV's Star Trek, The Next Generation, and the host of the documentary series MGM, When the Lion Roars.
Okay, that's fine, sir. Can I take your order?
Yes, you can.
And what is your order, sir?
I'll have a quarter pounder with cheese and a side order of fries.
Would you like it?
And a fillet. Oh, fish.
Would you like a cold drink with that, sir?
Yes. Yes. For the sake of the future of all mankind, I will have a small Sprite.
Okay, sir, that's $5.20. Could you proceed to the first window?
The first window. The first portal to a new dimension. One greater, one more wondrous than our own.
No, just the first window of the drive-thru, please, sir.
Yes, then so it is that I proceed to this window of which you speak.
Thank you, sir.
Approaching warp speed.
What the f***? Mate, did you just drive into the back of me?
Yes, it is so.
Mate, are you some kind of f***ing comedian?
I am, Patrick Stewart.
Mate, get out of the f***ing car.
And so, with heavy heart, I hereby withdraw from the vehicle.
Mate, look what you've done to my f***ing Duco.
You accuse me.
Mate, f***ing A, I do. Here's your orders, sir. Are you listening to me?
What manner of burger is this? I must reason with this.
Mate, you are talking out your f***ing ass.
And so it is that I bid you and your people farewell.
What a f***ing dead shit.
Join us next week for another edition of Celebrity Drive-Thru, featuring special guest Carmen Lawrence.
Yes, what's your order, madam?
Oh, I can't remember.
Martin Malloy on SAFM.
Dreams here on Martin Malloy, and in the next hour we'll be talking with H.G. Nelson. Mm. He's going to pop in on the show for the first time here at Martin Malloy.
Excellent.
And talk to us a little bit about that fantastic new program that's, well, not new, it's been around for a while now, but what's new is they're bringing variety back to television. Club Buggery on the ABC Friday nights. And I love how, because the name of the show is Club Buggery.
Mm.
But don't you love how in all the TV listings it's HG and Roy?
Is that right?
And the announcers, is they just can't bring themselves to say it, can they? They can't bring themselves to go, tonight it's Rumpole of the Bailey, and then Birds of a Feather, and then Club Buggery.
This wouldn't sound right, would it?
No, they just can't say it. But he'll be in the next hour. Also, Radio Gladiators on the way. And Mick, I don't want to get into my social life, but I'd just like to mention I was round at Michael Hutchins and Paula Yates' place last night.
How are they?
They're great, and it's a great to go around there because you just look out in the backyard and they're just hanging on the clothesline, five pairs of leather pants. It's a great look. They're a very homely couple.
Yep.
They're a very busy couple too, and they both had a gig today, so they just spent the evening testing each other on their lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, then I say, don't tell me, Paula, not guilty, Your Honour. Yeah, that's it. But they were going to give me a bit of a slideshow, but the projector was busted, so instead they just showed me all their tattoos, which was a great evening's entertainment. Love Paula's got a new one. Have you read about her new?
No.
It's actually between her breasts, or as Hutchins calls it, Silicon Valley. But he's a one. He's a character. But then the photo albums came. I knew it was time to go. The photo albums came out, and that was a bit boring because, like, every shot was just Michael's fist lunging at the camera.
This is Martin Malloy.
Why, these creatures have been extinct for millions of years.
One step ahead. That split ends here on Martin Malloy, where it's time for a bit of
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Thanks, Pete. Today's challenge, well, it's this kind of joke which is going around at the moment. It's all the rage at the moment, these jokes where you go, if somebody married somebody else, you'd get something.
Mm.
And there's an example in the paper this morning, and it's a beauty, this one. If Heidi Fleiss married Simon Crean, she'd be Heidi Fleiss Green. You see, that's the kind of... And I think you're really impressed with this idea. Mick's been a big supporter of this idea for Gladiators all day long. What about you had one? You had one on the program.
Yeah.
It was to great acclaim, this one.
Let me think. Oh, yes, that's right. Very funny. I remember now. Get ready, Gracie. what would you get if Claudia Schiffer married Brains from... What would Claudia Schiffer be called if she married Brains from the Thunderbirds?
It'd be what?
Claudia Schiffer Brains.
So I think people worked that out about 20 seconds ago.
But
here's a real one. This is when I was a kid, and this will give you an idea of how much spare time I had as a youngster. Mm. We had a bloke living in our town whose surname was spelt C-A-N-U-T, which is pronounced canoe. I think he was French or something.
Mm.
And then three doors down from us, there was a woman whose name was Barbara Dwyer. And we used to remark, if they got married, she'd be Barb Dwyer Canoe.
See, barbed wire canoe. That was the height of sophistication and repartee in my town.
I think you've won, Tone.
I got some kind of Sony Discman.
Yeah.
But this is all by way of example. Gracie, I think you've got one, haven't you? Have you, our producer, Gracie?
Yeah, well, if Yoko married Bono, would she be Yoko Ono Bono?
Yoko Ono Bono.
Yoko Ono Bono. Hey, leave some for the contestants, you guys.
It's just a bit of wordplay, a bit of interesting wordplay.
Yoko Ono Bono. Oh, dear.
Well, it could be worse. We could be phoning people's answering machines. Just keep that in mind, Mick Malloy. And the prize, well, it's a Sony Discman. Mm. It's a $400 very tiny stereo, and it's brought to you by 4 and 20 Pies. And I don't know how many people were at the Take That concert in Melbourne last night, but it was a sensational show, and you've probably read the reviews in the paper this morning. Take That got up on stage. Apparently, they only spent like 15, 20 minutes doing all their hits, and that was then they went off stage, and then for the rest of the two-hour show, they came out, they sat down at a table, and they just ate a 4 and 20 pie. That's all they did.
Didn't they?
There was no music. There was complete... You could hear a pin drop in the auditorium. And, you know, nobody was bored. Everyone was enthralled.
You know, at one stage, they ran out of pies, so a couple of roadies scuttled out with 4 and 20 pies, handed them up and scuttled off.
And, you know, nobody complained. At the end of the night, everyone had felt that they'd had a completely satisfying evening's entertainment.
I thought the most interesting aspect was when the crowd really got into it.
Yeah.
And well, have you ever been to a concert, Tone, where people start moshing? And that's where you pass a body over the top of the audience and they all pass it around.
Yeah.
Well, the crowd somehow got themselves one of those 4 and 20 pies.
Is that right?
And they just like one just started passing it round, mosh style, and it was a treasure to behold.
And they're still going now, I understand, because that's just how strong the grip has. You know, the 4 and 20 has a grip. Are we going too long? Is that what you're waving at me for? Okay, sorry, Gracie. Call us now with your if so and so married so and so they'd be jokes now at Radio Gladiators 1-800-657-657.
We now return you to abnormal programming. Mutton Malloy.
And I was just thinking, imagine if Max Sharam married Saddam Hussein. He'd be known as Saddam Sharam.
Indeed.
Do I win anything?
No, but you don't win anything, I'm afraid.
Saddam Sharam.
Yeah, it's very nice. But, you know, I can imagine that marriage. That's the scary thing. No, he's not mad enough for Max Sharam. That's the problem. But this is all by way, people, of setting up Gladiators today. And this is the kind of sparkling entertainment we're about to unleash, because there's a lot of these jokes going around about if somebody married somebody else, it'd be something. And they're usually too blue to say on air, but I think we've got some clean ones, haven't we, Mick?
We do.
Is there anyone there?
Well, kicking us off today in this potpourri of fun is Chris. Hello, Chris.
Yeah, good
day. Hiya, mate. What'd you come up with?
If Madonna married the soccer player Diego Maradona, she'd be Madonna Maradona.
Yes, that's not a bad one to start off with. Thank you, Chris.
I think she'd prefer the whole team, but, you know.
Sure.
Okie dokie.
Craig, are you with us? Craig, what's your one?
Yeah, g'day. I hope it fits into the same category, but if you had, like, the Earl of, say, the Earl of Canterbury, and he got given an OBE, would that make him the earlobe of Canterbury?
quite possibly. How long did you spend thinking that one up, right?
Oh, I don't know, at least about 2 seconds.
Time well spent.
You want to come and write for us. Anyway, have we got Sandy there? Sandy, what's your one?
Right, if Al Pacino married the very well-known actress, Italian actress Cappuccino, she'd be Cappuccino.
Oh, indeed. That's very nice, indeed.
Oh, you've done well there, Sandy.
Cappuccino.
Cappuccino.
Yeah, have we got
Cappuccino.
With an O on the end. Yeah, don't think about it too much, though, Mick.
No. I'm thinking of changing my name to Deepole, but, you know, there we go. Oh, we've got Angela there.
Yeah, hello. I thought that if Susan Sainta wanted to go for a toy boy and marry Richie Rich, then she'd be Sue Rich.
Of course.
Of course she would.
And you know what? That's quite a believable marriage too, isn't it, when you think about it? Yeah? Okay, we'll accept that. Have we got next up, it's Justin. What's your one, Justin?
It's a bit of a double bugger, actually. Alan Barkin and Alan Arkin. You'd end up with Alan Barkin Arkin or Alan Barkin Arkin or Arkin Barkin or And they just wouldn't want to call their son Frank, would they?
No, and maybe if she married Gary Buchanan, it'd be Buck and Buchanan. I don't know.
Oh, they've even got their address, actually.
It's an intellectual melting pot, the old Radio Gladiators. Have we got time for one more,
Mickey? We do. We got Richard. Hello, Richard.
G'day, fellas. How you going?
Oh, I can't complain at this stage, mate.
Oh, good stuff, mate. Hey,
what you got for us?
If you had Princess Anne and you had John Bon Jovi, you'd have an anchovy.
Oh, dear. Yes. Is that our winner, Mickey?
Look, it's bloody close. What do you reckon? Unless you're going to lean to something else, unless you're going to go cappuccino way. Oh, is it anchovy?
It might have to be. Yes, indeed.
Well done, Richard, and the Emmy.
Richard, for your very fine efforts, you've got the Sony Discman.
Good on you. Thanks, fellas. Good one.
Okay. And Justin, do you mind telling us what your surname is?
That's Richard.
Oh, Richard. Okay.
Oh, come on, Tony. Get your act together, mate.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll tell you what, everyone just call me idiot, because this is the second time I've done it on the show this week.
No,
so
we'll
from now on, just everyone has to call me idiot. That's my new name on the program. It's Idiot Malloy. That's the new name of the show.
Oh,
okay, Richard.
I like the sound of that. Sounds like I got married to an idiot.
Are we printing the T-shirts already? Okay, Richard, I've got your name right. Third go at it. And, yes, guess what? You've won the Sony Discman.
Cool. Thanks, fellas. You're champions.
Okay, and stick around, people. In the next hour, we're going to be speaking to somebody who knows what he's doing. And I'm talking about one H.G. Nelson.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Telstra Mobile. The longer you listen, the later it gets. Martin Malloy.
S.A.
Now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom of the bay. Yes, I can pay you to...
This next segment's going to require coordinated technology.
Use this satellite. It's me out the window with a coat hanger.
Positioning. Are you in the right position
yet, Mick? I'm on one leg.
Are you happy with the reception?
All right.
Okay, well, it's time then to welcome a man who, together with his esteemed colleague, Rampaging Roy Slaven, has brought variety back to Australian television, and not before time. I'm talking about the ABC's Friday night blend of talk, music and meat, Club Buggery. And here to tell us about it, it's H.G. Nelson. H.G., thanks for coming in today.
Well, yes, tremendous to be locking horns with you lads. Look, I've admired your work from a careful distance for years now, and I know many people have appreciated you the further they've gotten away from you. But look, Club Buggery, yes, look, it was a simple concept. The ABC did allow us a crack of opportunity, to put it in those crude sort of terms, to actually bring club entertainment into people's homes on a Friday night, and we thought, bugger me, if they're senseless enough to allow us, we'd grab it with both hands.
How did you pitch the idea, HG?
Look, it was very tricky. Mercifully, we were caught in an internecine ABC management brawl. You may have noticed some departures from the top of the ABC recently. Well, they're the ones who gave us the green light.
Oh, I see.
I refer to Mr. D. Hill, amongst others. Look, it was just a lucky fluke, being in the right place at the right time. I think it's fair to say is that they could see wisdom in what we were proposing. What they didn't realise is the sort of show they were getting. It was what we call in the trade, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, a bearded job. We made it look a lot bloody better than it's turned out to be. But basically, there is a tradition of going out to clubs, let's face it, all over Australia, on a Friday night. And we thought, well, we'll save people the price of admission, the cab fare, there and back, the drinks, and basically turn up in their lounge rooms on a regular basis with nothing much better than they'd see at any club venue around Australia. I tell you what, the casino in Melbourne is offering exactly what we have put on the television.
But you're turning it on for free.
Yes, that's right, and you don't have to leave your kids in the cars in the car park either. But did I see an act listed at the casino recently that involved members of Old 55, Skyhooks, and Daddy Cool? I think it was Old Sky Daddy.
Old Sky Daddies, that's the one.
Did you get along and see that, boys?
No, we camped out the front in our sleeping bags for a number of days, but we just couldn't snaffle the elusive tickets, I'm afraid, HG.
And they tell me also at midday now these days in the casino, Tony Barber's got a... sort of a midday variety
he does.
Show going.
Assisted by the wonderful Kathy Godbold. There's a dynamic duo.
I want to see him going at midnight with a close-off version. That'd be the one I'd be looking for, and, gee, that could stop a roulette wheel or two.
Oh, now, yes. HG, how did you manage to corral the people you've got on Club Buggery? You've got Terps, you've got Jane Scully. How did you manage to assemble this Super League of entertainers?
Well, let's face it, Clubland hasn't been as strong vis-a-vis bookings as it has been in previous years.
Right.
We found them basically out of work, lounging around on golf courses, drove the van out, the ute out, and said, climb on board, we've got a job for you. Look, it is true, and you can appreciate this, being entertainers yourself, that there are some people who you can't get, you know, their skills in the work of any other artiste. Mm. It's impossible to get somebody like Rod Mulliner or somebody like, I was going to say, Sigrid Thornton to play your Jane Scarleys or Ian Turpie. Yeah. The only people who can give you that are Terps and Jane themselves. They've got those voices that have been in smoke-filled room before the chintzy curtain with the mirror ball going four nights a week. That's what's in their voice, and that's what you just can't get from anywhere else. And I say, you know, as Terps has become a bit of a legend, I did see him get a tremendous coverage on the Green Guide recently in the Legends category. I think he was in there with people like Molly Meldrum.
Mm.
He was in there with Graham Yallop, now that he's had the hair job, and obviously Scotty Palmer.
And our very own Pete Smith.
Smith, yes. The Sail Man, yes.
Now, HG, if you are looking for more names to fill out the bill, we can slip you the phone number of One Lucky Grills.
Yes, I'm sure you can. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you were blessed by having him on your show for at least about 30 weeks there a couple of years ago without him ever opening the larynx, you know, chorally speaking.
That's right. I actually was doing his voice there, and he still employs me from time to time doing his voice for public appearances. Like at a restaurant, he'll get me to, you know, hide behind the potted palms and just do the ordering for him. It's a great bit of an extra earner for me.
Well, listen, lads, you know, there's some people you can't have on your show because they're too good, and I'd put Lucky right up there with Don Lane in that category.
Indeed. Well, I think enough about Club Buggery. HG, can you stick around for a while?
Of course I can. I'd love to. You know, I can stay as long as you guys have got airtime, or as we used to say in the old days, needle time.
Okay, well, we want to turn your great mind to the subject of halftime entertainment at the footy. That'll be next on Martin Malloy.
FM. Martin Malloy.
And HG Nelson is with us on the panel today. HG, what did you make of the halftime entertainment at the Sydney Grand Final?
Well, I thought it was absolutely magnificent. Mm. Look, I rate it right up there with the day they built the Australian map at the MCG. I'm not sure where they got all those kiddies from, and I know Ross Oakley isn't telling, but they were fit, they could run, they could carry a balloon and pull a map of Australia out of a lump of nothing as quick as buggery. Look, the fact that they were trying to persuade the tricky International Olympic Committee that Australia might be a good place to have the Olympic Games is neither here nor there. On Sunday, we had an attempt by a cable television firm to persuade us that it was a good idea to sign up with them. What they produced was a... Well, this gets the tricky bit. How do I put those magnificent pictures into words?
As far as we could see, HG, it was just a giant telly falling over.
Well, first up, let's go right back to the beginning. What I noticed were a lot of attractively nubile young women pulling on a big cable, and I thought, hello, what is this, a promotion for gas or something like that? It was connected up to something that I thought was a gas heater, to be honest with you, and then I realised that it was going to be a television show that had turned into a television set on wheels. Out of this television set, once they got the ramp, came a lot of people, including Daffy Duck, artists of the calibre of Tony Lockett and Paul Kelly and so on, Costas View. And then a bloke with an orb head in a car. And he was, I understand, he was Bert Newton, and on loan from the... obviously the Mumba Parade. Anyway, Bert got out and stood around with the orb head on, you know, struggling and waving around, and then they tried to pack it all away. This is always the problem with these things, is never go back the route you've come out. That's right. A show business maxim. Now, once they packed all the dancers away, they tried to elevate the television once they disconnected the cable, and this is where the trouble became. I understand a dancer's costume was shredded as they went for the elevation. There was a nude stuck inside there. They couldn't get the nude out, 40,000 eyes plus world television, so she had to stay in there. Then of course, they had an explosion which blew the television to bits and allowed...
There was shrapnel everywhere, wasn't there?
That's right. 40 million balloons to be released into the skies above Sydney. However, one of what I assumed was the speakers on a stereo television fell off clunk onto the playing arena. At this stage, the officials from the ARL, this is the Australian Rugby League, started to panic, as they are wont to do. And they got the SES, this is the State Emergency Services, out there to have a go at countermanding what was a tremendously professional group of people putting on the display. All hell breaks loose. Should we move the speaker now? No, let's wait till we reassemble and put it back on the trolley and try and wheel it off. The trolley's digging into the mud, can't go, so all of a sudden all hell breaks loose with one group panicking and countermanding the orders of another. If they just let the Optus people get it together, I'm sure it would have been terrific.
We've got Tina Arena singing the anthem before the big game in Melbourne on Saturday. Is it a wise choice? Who would you have gone with personally?
Look, I think that it's wrong to really get too head up about these things. I mean, what is wrong with a parade of, say, senior players? Players who... I did notice in the paper this morning, I think, Michael Christian... Shane Kerrison and Gary Pert have all decided to give the game away at, say, Collingwood next year. Wouldn't it be great to see them come out and sing the national anthem?
Absolutely.
I noticed the boys from Culture, the musical group, the vocal group, have been involved in a number of attempts to sing the national anthem at rugby league matches. I'd love to see them come out and do it unplugged. I think that could work. I don't think many people would worry about standing and putting their hand on their hearts as it happened, but, you know, that's the Australian way, just to ignore it and wait for the footy to get underway.
Well, just have to wait and see what happens this Saturday. And HG, we've been having a bit of satellite trouble during our conversation with you. I think the line was put in by the Optus people, the same people who built that giant TV. Someone's freaking.
Well, I could well believe it. A lot of your work is bugged.
It is. Okay, but thanks for talking to us today, and all the best with Club Buggery this Friday.
Well, thanks very much, and go the Blues on Saturday.
Do not adjust your radio. Martin Molloy on
Well, there it is, another Martin Molloy out of the way. And Mickey, just before we go, I must mention it's a very special day today for the entire nation. Because we've got a new coin.
Is that right?
A new Australian coin. It's a $150
coin. $150
coin. Apparently it's exact change for a choc top at the movies.
Is that right?
And if you get one, people, I tell you what, just present it to a cab driver, because they love that. I reckon the cab drivers are going to love the new $150 coin.
Yeah.
It's the first in a series. They're not going to be used, I don't think, every day, although there's already a fair bit of controversy. I believe pensioners are having a bit of trouble. They're confusing it with the $100 coin. I understand. There'll be a lot more letters to the editor, I think, on this subject.
I don't think I'll be using any when playing my popular drinking game, Coin Up the Kyber Tone. Just a tad too expensive for my tastes.
But it is certainly get your notoriety.
Oh, yeah.
On the Coin Up the Kyber circuit. But that's all from us today. Thanks to our guests, H.G. Nelson and John Howard, and all our radio gladiators. Tomorrow we'll be joined by a pretty interesting bloke, Steve Griffiths. You might know him as Jim Morrison, because this bloke for some years now has been togging up as the Lizard King in, one of Australia's most successful, possibly the most successful Australian cover band, the Australian Doors Show. And he's just got stories to tell us before the band decides to call it a day, I think this Friday. So he'll be joining us tomorrow. And in the meantime, take it away, Johnny Howard at the wheel of our once again roadworthy Billboard of Debt.
Get your body riding, head out on the highway, looking for adventure, and whatever comes my way, yeah, darling, gonna make it happen, take the world in a love embrace. How do you like the sound of that, Mick? Hey, give me the juices flowing, fire all of the guns off at once and explode into space.
Martin Molloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.